All right, brethren, let's turn back there to Isaiah chapter 38. You know, the grace of God really does humble a believer. And it's part of the burden being lifted off of us is to be able to be honest. Honest with God. Honest about ourselves. Honest with one another. It's just a wonderful thing not to have to pretend. I mean, especially pretend in those things that we know aren't so. You know, like we have some sort of goodness or some sort of righteousness about us that God says isn't there. It's good to be honest. Be honest with God. That's what Friday night we had the youth Bible study, and that's the primary thing we looked at, was just not saying your prayers, but really being honest with God. If you don't understand Him, ask Him to give you an understanding. If you're afraid of Him, express that. If you want to know Him, ask Him to draw you near and teach you. Just be honest. If you are a sinner, ask Him just to be merciful to you. I mean, just be honest with God. It's hard. We can't do that until God truly gives us a heart to be honest with God. Well, I pray now that God will use this word to humble us and make us honest before God. I've titled this A Believer's Honest Confession. Believer's Honest Confession. Isaiah 38:1 says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." This was about the time the Lord had defended the city for His glory. It was during or after that time, the Assyrian assault on Jerusalem that we saw in Isaiah 37. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." You know, I'm thankful the Lord has come and redeemed His people, and He's given me the charge to go forth and tell you the good news of what He's accomplished. Wouldn't this be hard to go to a faithful man, a believer, and say to him, "Prepare your house, thou shalt die and not live"? The Lord sent me to tell you that. Verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." Now drop down to verse 9. "The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness." This is one of those precious times in the Scriptures where the man who is actually being afflicted says to us himself what was going on in his heart while he was being afflicted. If Hezekiah didn't say this honestly about himself, I wouldn't say this about him. This man was a faithful man. This man was a believer. But he's being honest, and he says these are the thoughts that was on his mind and on his heart during this time. And he's honest with us about what he was thinking and feeling. And he tells us here that what swept over him were many fears, many complaints. His heart was full of murmuring. And he tells us what those things were. Verse 10, "I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. He describes this as cutting off my days. He says, I'm deprived of the residue of my years. Hezekiah's about 40 years old at this time. He's in the prime of his life. His nation is in trouble. He doesn't have a son to take the throne after him. And he's being honest here. And he says, I felt as though I was being deprived of my years. And then that lets us know something here, that the reason the Lord was doing what he was doing is Hezekiah did have an attachment for this life. He did have a zeal for this life. We can understand what he's going through here, but he had an attachment for this world that was grieving him in thought at the thought of dying. And then, you know, you think too, he had all those things those harsh words that the Assyrians had just said to his messengers out there that were hearing all this, to the people on the wall, about how, don't listen to Hezekiah, don't trust what he's saying. And I can't help but think that Hezekiah's probably thinking, I'm going to die here and these people are going to mock me and think the Lord has really smitten me, has been offended with me. He has a lot of things on his mind. I think he was probably feeling somewhat like David. Look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73. David said this on one occasion. He said, truly, you're there, Psalm 73:1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. He had an attachment to this world, Hezekiah did. Well, these earthly thoughts clouded his mind so that he was deprived of the consolation he might have had at this time when he's facing death, knowing that he's going to be with God in glory now and see God face to face. But he says back in Isaiah 38:11, he said, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. He acts as if you only see the Lord in the land of the living, as if this was not going to be opening the door for him to walk right into God's presence and see him. And this was coming about because of this attachment he had, this longing to continue in his years. But you notice here it wasn't hell that grieved him. That wasn't what grieved him. What grieved him was he wanted to see the Lord. Howbeit he wanted to see the Lord in the land of the living, but he wanted to see the Lord. Twice he says here that's what his complaint was. Well, thoughts of his own sin swept over him as well, so that he thought God was cutting him off in judgment, and justly doing that. Look at verse 12. Mine age is departed. He's saying my generation is departed. My life is departed. It's removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Just that easily, taking down a shepherd's tent. Look what he says here. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He said, I've done this. Look what he says next. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. He ascribes this cause of death to himself. He knew he was a sinner. And these sins were... He was thinking about these things. He knew he had given tribute to the king of Assyria. He probably many other things. He knew these things. These things were just coming on him. Wave after wave, these thoughts are coming to him. Verse 13, he says, I reckon to a morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night, wilt thou make an end of me. He said, I reckoned. that I might just make it to morning. But then like a lion, he'd break all my bones and just cut me off. It's a man being honest. It's a man being honest. Well, he was so burdened at these thoughts, he couldn't look up to God. He couldn't look up to God. It's interesting, don't you think it's interesting that first verse there, or I'm sorry, the second verse there, third verse there, when he turned to the wall and prayed, this is the Spirit of God giving us the word through the writer of this prophecy. And he said, this is what Hezekiah said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." Now that's what the Holy Spirit was inspired to write that Hezekiah said, what God heard him say. But Hezekiah's telling us what he said. Hezekiah's telling us what he said. Look now at verse 14. "Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fell with looking upward." All these thoughts he was having, he couldn't even look up to God. He couldn't even form up words on his lips to pray to God. Now, while all this is going on, and Hezekiah's suffering these things, he's right where God put him, right on purpose. And while he's suffering these things, now not a lot of time has passed. This has come on him like this. And Isaiah has reported the news to him, "Put his house in order, thou shalt die." And Isaiah's turned and he's walking out of his bedchamber, walking down the halls in the palace, and he's almost made his way out to the middle court. Now, Isaiah doesn't know all this is going on in Hezekiah's heart. So here's a change that takes place with Hezekiah. Hezekiah comes to the end of himself. He's crushed down. He's weighted down. He's burdened down with all these things. And this became his groaning within him. Verse 14 at the end. "O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Be my surety. Take this burden." What did he finally pray? "Lord, thy will be done." He finally came to the end of all this nonsense that he was thinking, chattering about, and murmuring about. He came to the end of all that. And he said, like Eli said, "It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." O Lord, I am oppressed. O Lord, undertake for me. Are you oppressed? You know, this word means so much. It's crushed. It means to be broken. It means to be just burdened down under heavy, heavy weight. Has your sin become heavy to you? Has the trial become heavy to you? Do you know there's no way to deliver yourself from the trial, from the weight? Have you come to that place where you can't bear up under it anymore? Here's the only way of salvation. O Lord, undertake for me. He didn't have anywhere, any hope anywhere else. He'd come to the point where he was completely, totally broken. It wasn't as if the kind of trials that we suffer and that we, you know, have some hope that tomorrow's going to be a brighter day. This was it. This is it. And he's just at the point to where he can't find any peace whatsoever. None. And he says, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And Isaiah's walking along, almost about to make it out to the middle court. And look at verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, 2 Kings 20, verse 4 says, before Isaiah made his way out into the middle court. Not before then. Not when all that other, those other thoughts were going on and all that other stuff. But when he said, Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. The Lord said, Isaiah, turn around and go back. Go back. Verse 5, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. I think that what we read there in verse 3 is what the Lord heard when he heard, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And the Lord remembered, there's nobody in this world like Hezekiah. There's never been anybody like Hezekiah. And he sent Isaiah to him. Look down at verse 21. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Verse 7, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. Now, what can we learn about this from Hezekiah? Well, I like it when I can just preach what somebody else already said. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach to you exactly what Hezekiah said for us to learn from this. He wrote it down. Verse 15. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Here's the first thing. Believer, go softly in the fear of the Lord. Sojourn through this life, holding on to everything very loosely. Very loosely. Ready to let go of it at any time. You know when we get bitter, really? Is when we really want to hold on to something and it's taken away from us. And we start saying, that's not fair. That's not fair. So, I read somewhere somebody said, fair is the thing you go to and ride on rides and eat cotton candy and step in donkey dung. What God does is right. It's right. And he's given us everything he's given us to use for his glory. And when we become attached to him, it's not for his glory. And he'll just take them away. Have you shoes on your feet, have your loins girded and staff in your hand and be ready to go. Ready to go. Here's the second thing. He says, I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. This is repentance. Learn from the trial so as to repent from that which has caused you bitterness. Hezekiah says, I'm going to remember. I want to go softly and I want to remember my hastiness. I want to remember my impatience. I want to remember my inordinate affection for this world so that when I begin to think like that again, I'll remember this bitterness and it'll just be bitterness to me. I don't want to do this again. I don't want to be dishonoring to my God again. I want to be trusting of Him. Look over at Job. At the end of Job's trial, look at what Job said. Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. Look at verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I'll proceed no further. That's what Hezekiah is saying. I'm just going to put my hand on my mouth and be quiet. Here's the third thing. Brother Scott asked me in the back this morning, do we have anything to pray, specifically to pray for? And I said, yes. Thank the Lord for the trials. Verse 16. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. By these trials and by these deliverances from these trials, by these sinkings and these risings, by these strippings and these clothings, by these emptyings and these fillings, by these things, spiritual men, God's children, live. They live in proportion, direct proportion to how we die to this world, to self, to sense, to nature, to false religion, in direct relation to how we die to this world, the life of God is strengthened in our conscience. At first, it looked like Hezekiah's faith was gone. It looked like his hope was gone. He sounded like a man that didn't have any hope at all, didn't he? But underneath all that, God was strengthening his faith and reviving his faith, making him a stronger believer, a little more weaned from this world. I remember one time there was a big oak tree at the back of my grandparents' house. And ivy had grown all over that tree. And it had gotten so bad. I mean, it just was all up the tree and had gotten all over that back portion of their house. So one day I went down there and I took tools and I went and cut all that ivy off that tree. Right, it took all day. And it just had big heaps of ivy. And there was some poison ivy mixed with it. I think I couldn't hardly walk for about 3 days when I got finished, but after clearing out off all that ivy, do you think it killed the tree? The tree grew better. The tree thrived after all that ivy was cut off of it. That's what God's doing. He's cutting off all the ivy. That's what He's doing, just cutting off the ivy. And by these things we live. We live. Well, here's the fourth thing. Here's what the Father teaches His children. In everlasting love, God has put away your sins, and He will not allow one for whom He died to perish. Look at verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. When our peace becomes this life, anything but hope in our Savior, God is sure to make it bitter to us. But that's grace. That's grace. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Before God discovers his peace to any of his vessels of mercy, we saw this last week, instruction in the way. It's like he took them down there when they came out of Egypt, he took them down there between those two rocks and between that Red Sea and pinned them in there with Pharaoh's army coming after them. God's going to always bring us to bitterness. He's going to bring us to the end of ourselves before he speaks peace in our hearts. Because if he doesn't, we won't understand and know and rejoice that he is the peace. And that very thing he's done for us is our peace. It is our deliverance from the pit of corruption. And when he speaks this peace to us, he's going to make us to understand that what he's doing for us and why he has done what he's done for us, even though the trial may have been bitter at the time, it's because he has cast all our sins behind his back and he will not remember them anymore. And he won't allow us to perish in the pit of corruption. Hezekiah was going through all this and he was thinking, look over at Isaiah 53. Hezekiah was going through all this and he was saying, I'm cut off. He has cut me off. I am perishing. I'm being cut off out of the land of the living. It couldn't be so. It could not be so. It never could be so. Because as his surety, another was cut off in his place. Verse 8, Isaiah 53:8. Christ was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation, his age, his life? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It satisfied God. It satisfied every requirement God has of his people for him to bruise his own son. And he put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He'll see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Well, that's what the Lord did. He did this for Hezekiah. He said, he brought him to that place where Hezekiah cried out and said, Lord, help me. Lord, be my surety. And he said, deliver him from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. I have a ransom for this one. Here's the fifth thing. What do we do with this knowledge? What do we do with this understanding? What do we do with it? What did Hezekiah do with it? He honestly wrote it down and is teaching it to us, his children. And was honest about every bit of it. Honest about every bit of it. Look what he says here. Let us teach our children what we've learned by God's grace. Verse 19, The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Let's not wait on somebody else to teach our children. Let me say that personally. Let me not wait on somebody else to teach my children. I need to teach them. I need to teach them. I need to redeem the time and teach my children what God has taught me by His grace. Isn't that why he's done what he's done? You know, when he brought them out of Egypt, what did he say to them? He said, "Now, you learn these things I've done for you, and you write these things, and you teach them to your children and to your children's children, and do not forget what I've done for you." Why is he doing what he's done? It is for our good. It is for our immediate personal good, but it's also for the good consolation of others. It's also for the comfort of others. That's what Paul said. If we be afflicted, it's for your consolation. So that we can comfort you with the same comfort wherewith we're comforted. The grace of God. The freeness of God's grace. The truth that He's put all my sin away. He's forgiven me completely. He's cast it behind His back. He's delivered up His only begotten Son in my room in my stead. He's made Him guilty before Him, that He might justly punish Him in my room instead, so that He might, with the same justice, show me mercy. What an amazing God. Justice is not my enemy anymore. Justice is my best friend. Demands I be shown mercy. Because why? There is no sin anymore. So, Son, when I get to being too high and mighty and I get too wrapped up in this world and I get to running after this world and too attached to this world, and you see me just brought down to mourning and crying and sorrow, it's the same thing that I'm trying to do for you when I'm correcting you and teaching you. When I take you into your bedroom and set you down on the bed and I talk to you and explain to you and try to teach, and we try to teach these kids not just that's wrong, don't do it anymore. Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong? Because it's against the one who has the authority over you. It's against the one who provides everything for you. It's against the one who is your life. It's against the one who is your mercy. It's against the one who is your grace. It is against the one whose every instruction is right for you, whose every instruction is guiding you in the way you should go, whose every instruction will result in you increasing and not being taken captive and lost in this world. And as we're teaching them that, we're teaching them, when you see what the Lord's done to me, I'm not without chastening. I'm not without correction. My Heavenly Father is seated in the heavens at the right hand of God, my everlasting Father, and God my Father. And He's correcting me. He will not allow me to be turned out of the way. In these large things that happen, in these large things that take place where He brings me down, where He takes away some big thing, maybe it a house or a job or cars or houses or whatever it is. My God is doing exactly, as a faithful father is doing exactly for me, son, what I'm trying to teach you. Not because He doesn't love me, because He does. I heard this story recently. I didn't realize this, but Brother Walter Groover down in Mexico, they adopted a child. I never knew this. They adopted a child in Mexico, and Brother Walter and Sister Betty were very careful with this little girl because they had adopted her, and they didn't correct her like they did their other children. They weren't nearly as thorough with her as they were their other children. Let her get away with some things. And she just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so finally Walter one day sat her down and he said, "This can't go on anymore." And he gave her a spanking. And she began bawling and crying and tears coming out her face. And right in the middle of it, she said, "Now I know that you love me." That's happened. "Now I know that you love me." Well, here's the last thing. No chastening for the present's joy is grievous, but afterwards it yields peaceable fruit. It did with Hezekiah. It does with us. So let us praise the Lord in the house of the Lord the remainder of our days. Look at verse 20. "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." He was constrained by the love of God, forgiving him, saving him by his grace, and it made him dedicated to the truth of God. It made him dedicated to the glory of God. It made him dedicated to the worship of God. That's what God's grace does. I said to you this morning, law won't do that. Law won't do that. Law will make a very pious, empty man. But it will not do this right here. It just won't do this. This is grace. He does this in conversion. Isn't this exact? We saw this last. Isn't this exactly what he did in conversion? He brings us to the end of ourselves and then teaches us who he is. And how he saves, and what he's done for us, and why he's done it. And he does it in every trial. And when we come to where Hezekiah came to, and we probably have these same thoughts that Hezekiah has, you know what God will do in his grace? He'll do the same thing he did for Hezekiah, whether he gives you more time or he doesn't. That's right. He'll bring you to see his grace is sufficient to save us and strengthen us, and he'll make us joyous. Has he saved you? Has he done this for you? I know this of certainty. If he does, when he does, you'll do what Hezekiah did. You'll say, I'm gonna sing to his name and praise him and worship him all my days in his house. I am so thankful for what he's done for me. And it won't be anybody have to twist your arm or try to drive you like a goat to get you to do it even. You'll do it singing and dancing and happy. All right, let's sing a song.